And welcome back. We're just at the halfway point. These are the surprises of 2011. These are movies that I saw that were good, bad, but there was something in them that took me by surprise. That came out of nowhere and made me really, really enjoy watching at least a portion of them. As I said, they may be good, they may be bad, but something on there kind of came out of nowhere and made me take notice. Number 9. Lucky. This was a Colin Hanks movie, and really what surprised me about this is how good it actually was, because this was one I got on a DVD, an expensive DVD, from Walmart. I think it was like $10 at Walmart, and it was a 2011 release, and it might have gotten a small release in theaters, but pretty much went straight to DVD for most of the country. But it was, the story is kind of blah, but the characters, the lead, Colin Hanks and, I'm drawing a blank on her name right now, I'm going to look it up, but really, it was really a funny movie, more so than it probably had any business being, considering what it was about. Colin Hanks plays a serial killer, and one of the women he killed, who all look like the woman he does eventually marry, bought a lottery ticket, and his mom finds it and turns it in, and they make $36 million in the lottery on that. Now, really, the lottery doesn't work this way, because they would have known who actually purchased the ticket, but he gets the money, and it's Ari Grainer. That's who played the female lead in this, Lucy St. Martin. And Colin Hanks played Ben Keller. Names really don't play very much into this, so it doesn't really matter. But what is funny is how the two play off of each other. Because she's obviously gold digging, and he's obviously disturbed, and he does kill quite a few people in this movie, and it's hilarious throughout. It's really a fun movie to watch, and he pulls off this look of just utter confusion throughout most of this movie, even when he's the one who's doing most of the killing. It's a fun movie to watch, and really one of the better movies I saw last year. Mostly because of Colin Hanks' performance. Number 8. Your Highness. This one surprised me because I didn't think it would be funny from the trailer, but I did eventually see it on DVD and really, really enjoyed it. It really was a surprise. And part of why it was surprising is because it was probably the best performance from Natalie Portman I've seen in a long time, and that is saying a lot. She's really let me down as far as her performances of late. I singled her out as boring in just like a mannequin in Thor. She did not deserve the best actress nominee, let alone the actual win for Black Swan. I saw that movie. It was shit. But this was probably one of her best roles in years, at least since before she started making the Star Wars movies. And Danny McBride is, I've actually kind of enjoyed seeing him in most of the things he's been in, and he didn't really disappoint here, which is surprising. I expected him to disappoint a little, considering the subject matter and just how outlandish the humor is, and it is really out there. James Franco actually pulls in a pretty good comedic performance, a lot like, it's a straighter role than he played in Pineapple Express, but it kind of harkens back to that. You see the humor that he was pulling from that and pulling into this. So it was just, the performances really were a surprise. Of course, I really do like Justin Theroux, and I can't explain why I like things he's in. But he was insanely funny in this, and I do recommend going and see it. It didn't make my best of list, but only just. There was a few more better movies that came out that kept it off, but it was a bigger surprise than I would have expected. Number 7, The Green Hornet. Now, this one was a bit of a late entry for me, because I didn't see it until the summer, and it came out in January. And January is usually a month where you dump things that are either just had a limited release in December and you're trying to bump up Oscar praise for it, but Green Hornet wasn't going to get that, or you just don't feel comfortable with it. Now, for me, the problem with this movie is it came out the day I was leaving for Disney World last January, so I was going to watch it, but then our plans changed, our flight got bumped, so I couldn't go to it the night it was released, and I wasn't going to go to a movie while in Florida. So when I came back, I just didn't have the time. Had to get back to work, had to get back to class, so I didn't get back into watching it. I didn't see it until the summer when it came out on Blu-ray. So I got the Blu-ray copy, and we watched it, and lo and behold, it was really good. It wasn't a great movie, I won't say that, but it was much better than some of the others. It was a heck of a lot better than Thor, and a better movie than Green Lantern, which surprised me. I really did enjoy Green Lantern, but I enjoyed Green Hornet better. Was it one of the best movies I saw that year? No. There were better movies. But at least it was enjoyable, and Seth Rogen really walked the line. He sort of pulled in the same similar performance as he did in Funny People, which is really on the line between too serious and too funny, because Funny People has a serious plot line running through it that kind of detracts a little bit from the humor. But the performance that Seth Rogen is giving in The Green Hornet is of a similar line while being more action-y. You kind of believe the character. Number 6. Dylan Dog. I never read the comic that this is based on, so I can't really say how faithful it was. But the movie was actually better than it got credit. Brandon Routh, who, by the way, was not a bad Superman, just wasn't a great Superman, but he was going up against Christopher Reeve. No one was ever going to top Christopher Reeve, and even the guy they've got for it right now is going to have to fight really hard to be better. But Dylan Dog presented a world, and it did it right. It didn't just shove the whole thing on you all at once. It gave you it in the proper amount of trickles. It showed you that, yes, there are werewolves, but no, they're not all that bad. Yes, there are zombies, but no, they're not really all that bad. But they can be. So there was the right amount of mix between the factions. And it actually did vampires right, which was something that was sorely lacking for most vampire movies last year. So it was a surprise, because it was actually more fun than you would have expected. Now, I did see this off of Netflix. I didn't go to the theater to see it. Mostly because it was a time issue. I didn't have the opportunity to go to see it in the theater, and it wasn't out for very long. I had been interested in it, not enough to buy it on DVD. I have since purchased it on DVD. So I saw it on Netflix first and actually did enjoy it a lot. So I do recommend it. It wasn't the best movie I saw. It wasn't on the best list, unfortunately. But it was good, and I do recommend it. Number 5. This is tricky. Number 5 is Ironclad. It was a surprise. Paul Giamatti's performance is amazing. And as I said, watch it once for him, and then watch him on YouTube, because you will enjoy Paul Giamatti. And that was surprising, because he is in clearly a different movie than everybody else in that. Everybody else is serious and dour and playing the part, and he is just gnawing on the tent rail. He's always funny in everything he does. He actually, another movie I would compare that his performance to is Shoot 'Em Up, where he is just gnawing on everything around him while Clive Owen is shooting everybody. The two performances are remarkably similar, and I recommend you watch just for Paul Giamatti in this. But otherwise, it's not a very good movie, and it is on my worst list. Number 4, Boon Raku. This was a really good comic book movie that nobody saw. But it had a huge cast. A lot of people that you know. Ron Perlman, Josh Hartnett, Demi Moore, and Woody Harrelson. The subplot with Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson is amazingly reminiscent of Indecent Proposal and just actually added a little bit of extra fun to it. Kevin McKidd is seriously disturbed in it and does just... He is an incredibly underrated character actor. He shouldn't try to be the lead. And I think that's the problem, is that they've been trying to sell him as a lead, but he is really good as a character actor. Trainspotting, The Lost Legion, Topsy Turvy. Just, he's playing a character and not the protagonist. He really pulls a good performance out. I do recommend you watch this movie. See it a couple of times. You will enjoy it. It's not, as I said, with most of anything on this list, it's not a great movie. But it is better than you expect. And it does something that most movies like this fail to do. It maintains its style throughout. Whereas Sucker Punch had the style and didn't have the plot, this has the style and the plot, and you can tell it was made on a lower budget because it's not really pushing the style as hard, but the style is playing to the story, and so it is doing so much more than Sucker Punch was. The only problem is that all the characters are male. There's like two female characters in it. That's only a negative if you're trying to compare it to Sucker Punch, because you're going to say, well, Sucker Punch had the style but no plot, and you're only liking the plot of Boon Raku because it plays to the male side of things. And that argument could be made. It's a faulty argument, because at least Boon Raku had a plot, whereas Sucker Punch, I think what's been said is that every movie has a plot, but not every movie has a story. I think it's the reverse. Every movie has a story, but not every movie has a plot. This was just Boon Raku. You followed it. It was, things occurred in a logical order, and they progressed to the end. It started, it ended, there was a middle, there was rising action. It did everything that they tell you you're supposed to do when you write a screenplay. And that's a good thing. It's an enjoyable movie, and it's surprising. Number 3, The Thing. I liked The Thing. I liked what they did with The Thing. I liked a lot of what went on in that movie that most people didn't like. I do think it did have problems with it. The creature acted differently in this one than he did in the first one. Well, the way I kind of look at that, if you've seen it, is that the creature who sat for a day and a half as the dog, hiding, was a different creature than the main creature in this movie. And so, of course, he's going to react to people, he's going to hide more than that one. I'm not of the group that says that John Carpenter's The Thing was a masterpiece. It was a good movie. It was fun. It wasn't a masterpiece. It had issues. Now, were those issues enough to make it a bad movie? No. Were the issues in this thing enough to make it a bad movie? For most people, yes. For me, no. I enjoyed it. It wasn't in my best list. It wasn't in my worst list. It was kind of closer to the best than the worst, but that's a personal opinion on mine. All these are personal, but really, I can see enough to say that there was problems with it that would keep it from being better than the 9 movies I chose for my best of list. Number 2, Drive Angry. I'm not a big proponent of the exploitation flick, but William Fichtner is amazing in this movie. If anything, watch this movie for him. He's one of the best things I've seen on film this year. He's not the best, and I'll get into that into another on a later recording, but he was pretty damn close, and he was enjoyable the whole time, because although he played ostensibly the antagonist in this throughout most of this movie, you never felt he was doing it out of malice. He was simply doing it because that's what he was put on the earth at that particular time to do, and it was amazing. He followed it through from beginning to end, and it was enjoyable to see him do it. Watch Drive Angry. You will enjoy it, you'll enjoy him in it, and you might actually enjoy Nicolas Cage. I actually like Nicolas Cage in Season of the Witch better than in Drive Angry, but I think I'm alone in that one. And number one, biggest surprise of 2011, Young Adult. Now, if you watch the trailer for Young Adult, you're not going to get what the movie actually is. You'll get the plot. It does pretty well establish what the movie is about, but not what the movie is. I really can't say much more than that. It's just, it was the biggest surprise. I was surprised I enjoyed it. I went to it just to see Patton Oswalt, and I ended up seeing a good movie. A much better movie than Diablo Cody would have seemed to have written before then. Because I didn't think much of Juno. I didn't think much of Jennifer's Body either. It was better written than what was actually got to the screen, but this had the right director, the right cast for her story, and it showed. So those are my top 9 surprises of 2011. I'm going to take a small break. Not that you'll notice, because you can go straight on to the next one, which is my top 9 movies of the year. The top 9 best movies I saw of 2011. And that's coming right up.